The following Dharma talk was recorded in May 2013 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of five recordings from the retreat called Upadana, the Buddha's Teaching on Attachment, taught by Gloria Terania Ambrosia. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. The retreat teacher, Gloria Terania Ambrosia, is a student of the Western Forest Sangha and a lay Buddhist minister in association with Abhayagiri Buddhist Monastery in California. She serves as a core faculty member at the Berry Center for Buddhist Studies and has been a Dharma teacher since 1990. More information on Terania can be found at www.bcbsdharma.org.
So just a little bit more this morning on mindfulness of the body. I wanted to make sure we cover the meditation in the four postures. It's usually the case that we cover quite well the meditation of the sitting pose and the walking pose, but the other two kind of get left by the wayside, and yet they're really important to bring in. It's not a whole lot to taught particularly about the lying down practice. It's good to know that it's really not considered good form to lie down in the meditation hall at any time, you know, certain during sitting, certainly definitely during Dhamma talks. That's not considered to be inappropriate and rude. And yet it is an important pose, and occasionally when people are ill, that's what they're welcome to do that, and it's understood that it's with an understanding that they're ill. But the pose itself is actually, if you've ever seen the reclining Buddha, it's on your right side with your head resting in your elbow, and the legs are straight and on top of each other, just in that kind of a pose, and usually reserved for the sick bed, or we may call a lot of those lying pose Buddha rupas that you see. That's supposed to be the pose of the Buddha while he was dying, like he was lying between the sal trees. So you can see that it's kind of reserved for those kinds of occasions. And at one time, when I was teaching with one of the monks, there was a gal who came into the hall, and she had brought her lounge chair with her, and she had this really thick foam mattress that she put on the top of the lounge chair, and a bunch of pillows and blankets, like basically created her bed inside the hall. And within a few seconds of the beginning of the meditation, she's out cold, you know, and had one hellacious snore, you know, and so the whole hall was just vibrating with this woman snoring. And so, you know, Ajahn said, you're going to have to go down and talk to her. And I said, okay. So I did. And very nicely said, you know, I think the lying pose is not serving your practice very well. And, you know, and she didn't like it at all, but she did come to, and she said she wrestled for a number of days with being told, you know, but I mean, I did it when everybody else was gone, and I was very discreet about it, but she didn't like that, and she thought the monks had sent me out to do their dirty work, and yet in the end, she was really glad to be told that she needed to get upright. You know, it's very rare that you, when you get in a lying pose, that you can keep the mind bright and alert and practice well. And so the rest of her retreat, once she got through that hump, really went quite smoothly, you know. But you can't expect to get into poses that are generally slouchy or sleep, associated with slouch or watching TV or going to sleep and have a successful meditation. It's just not possible. And so the lying down pose is very specifically on the side with the head in the and you're resting in your elbow. And sometimes you can prop a pillow or something. Very good to do while you're if you're sick or something like that. But again, not to carry it into the meditation hall. And then the standing pose also sometimes gets a bad rap because it's often taught as the antidote for sleepiness. We were talking about this in one of the groups yesterday, and so that as soon as somebody stands up in the hall, then you can almost, like, a lot of people have these thoughts like, oh, they're sleepy, you know, ooh, something, they're not, their meditation isn't going well or something like that. And it's really good to just it's because I think that one of the main places where it's talked about in the suttas is as an antidote. He's talking to, I think it was Moggallana, who had a sleeping problem, a nodding problem. In fact, the sutta is called nodding. And he would always keep, nodding off during the sittings. And so the Buddha encouraged him, among other things, to do standing meditation. And so it has that reputation of only being that antidote. But it really is a meditation of in its own right. It's something to encourage you to bring into your practice, because there's lots of times throughout the course of the day when we're just standing, you know, waiting in line for this, waiting in line for that, and it can escape us that this is a time to meditate as well. So you get into a habit of tuning into the physical form, no matter what pose you're in, no matter what posture. And yes, it is a great antidote for sleepiness, because you really do arouse a lot of energy. I want to walk through it this morning with you, and you'll see what I mean. It's a great thing to do in the morning when you start your day, at least for part of your normal meditation period, to bring energy into the system. It wakes everything up, because it takes more energy, obviously, than just sitting. So how about if we do some? And if any of you have back or knee problems or something like that and find it's too much, then by all means just stop. And I'm not going to do it, you don't have to do it the whole period unless you want to. Okay. So start by, you put the feet pointing forward and parallel. Some people say, well, if they have the tendency to turn your feet out, that you feel more balanced if they're turned out. So just look and feel it out and see. It's probably better to turn them in to make them a little bit more straight than usual to get a really firm, stable, grounded pose. And just starting with the feet, it's really good to just take a few minutes and notice the different ways that the body gets balanced on the feet. Sometimes it's on the ball of the feet. Sometimes it's on the heel. It might be as you turn your feet out, like sort of it resting on the outside. Just be aware of all these different touch points when we stand. And the effort here is to try to get the weight distributed over the entire bottom of the foot, and to feel like the weight, like every bit, as much of the sole of the foot as possible is making contact with the floor. So just like you might do with your hands, where you can stretch them out like that, stretch the toes out, do that with your feet and get that contact first, just to get really established on the ground. And then it's a rooted pose, you know, like in yoga, it's the tree pose is a rooted pose, and you want to keep that in mind, like get the image in your mind of roots coming out of your feet and anchoring you to the ground, and that let that image carry you and inform the stability of this position. And then just moving up the body, we want to make sure that the knees are unlocked. You can play with that a little bit. Just watch what happens when you lock them. The weight is distributed very differently. It's like you cut off the body below the knees. You know, the weight will be picked up by the upper body and not the feet. We want the feet to be the place that the weight is being absorbed. And so just notice what it's like when they're locked and when they're unlocked, and unlock them just a little bit. And then the hips are another place where we tend to get locked. You know, it's like that when you're standing sort of like this and like this, you know, it just tends to get locked there. And then that throws the distribution of the weight off as well. So if you just, with your knees unlocked and weight distributed as much as you can all over the sole of the foot, just imagine like we have a tail. And you know, did you ever see a dog cower and the tail goes between the legs? Like do that a little bit. Just as imagine that something is pulling down on your tailbone and pulling down through your legs, and you get this tilt of the hips. And that will tend to unlock them. Well, you could do other things. You could swivel them and everything like that, just to unlock that. Like a soldier saluting or something. We want it to be more relaxed than that. Then just working up the body, the arms should be relaxed as well. Make sure the shoulders are unlocked and the jaw is unlocked. And these the arms are hanging lightly by the side, with the palms facing the body. And you know, it should be loose, like not stiff, not pressing against the body. Like one way to imagine it is as if you had a couple of eggs in your armpits. You want to be able to hold them there. Let's make them tiny eggs, like robin's eggs or something. You want to be able to hold them there, but not crush them. And then it's up to you if you want to stand with your eyes closed or open. The eyes are a big hijacker of the attention. And so seeing consciousness, really, not the eyes, but the consciousness. And so if you close them and can keep your balance, that's probably a good way to offset that. But if when you close your eyes, you can't keep your balance, then you do need to keep them open. And so it's recommended that they should be sort of downcast, and they'll fall on the floor in front of you at about your height distance from your toes. And the idea is that they're glazed over. It's kind of just this side of a stair. So that, like to play with that a little bit, just to see there's a way that you can have your eyes open and not really be fixing on any particular object. So then just notice your body. You're a human being standing, and this is how standing feels. And as far as what you pay attention to, it usually is the pressure or the sensation on the bottom of the feet. And let that be what we're aware of throughout the course of the standing pose. And watch it change, watch it move, feel that pressure. But you can also treat it like the sitting pose, where what you're aware of while you're doing this is the breathing. But if you do that, then do check in occasionally with the physical, with the sensations of the standing as well. Just go back and forth a little bit. And anytime, if it doesn't feel comfortable, you're welcome to sit down and just do the sitting pose. So we'll stand. Let's say just stand as long as you feel that you want to. There's about a half an hour more in the standing, in the period. And you're welcome to stand the whole time or part of it, whatever feels right.